Manson there in an interview years ago as he was serving a life sentence for directing the murders of actress Sharon Tate and six other people in 1969. California prison officials say medical privacy laws keep them from releasing the reason as to why Manson was hospitalized before his death and what the cause of death was. A U.S. Border Patrol agent's dead, his partner seriously wounded after a shooting that took place while they were on patrol in southwest Texas. U.S. Customs and Border Protection not releasing further details about the incident. President Trump has tweeted that this is more evidence of why a southern border wall must be built. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Hey, everyone. Proactive has an incredible offer for our listeners only. Stay tuned for a 100% risk-free offer that includes a free deep cleansing brush and free shipping. Do you have acne or even the occasional breakout? With Prescription Strength Proactive, your acne can heal and you can prevent future breakouts. There's no better time to try Proactive. Today, we're letting all listeners try Proactive 100% risk-free. Plus, they're giving away a free deep cleansing brush and free shipping when you call right now. 800-772-7610. You heard right. A risk-free trial of Proactive, a free deep cleansing brush, and free shipping. Take it from me. Proactive really works. So here's the deal again for our listeners. For $19.95, you'll get Prescription Strength Proactive, plus a deep cleansing brush valued at $55, totally free and free shipping. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now. 800-772-7610. That's 800-772-7610. One more time. Ready? 800-772-7610.
Senate Democrat Al Franken will not be making much of an appearance in tonight's tribute to David Letterman on TV after several edits were made. The longtime late-night TV host is being honored on David Letterman, the Mark Twain Prize on PBS. The ceremony was taped at the Kennedy Center last month, and Franken took part, but PBS says in a statement, the Minnesota Democrat will not appear substantially in the program now that he's under fire since an L.A. radio anchor has accused him of sexual harassment back in 2006. Weekly Standard founder Bill Kristol says former presidential candidate Mitt Romney would be a respected voice in the U.S. Senate. Kristol meeting with the former Massachusetts governor during a trip to Utah earlier this month, now saying Romney would have a unique role in the Senate if he were to be elected. Kristol believes Republicans should look to Romney for advice and statesmanship given his role as a longtime party leader. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root. I'm a father of four, and I worry every day about this dangerous world. There are so many things that could go wrong. Economic collapse, stock market crash, terrorist attack, war with North Korea. There's a lot to worry about when it comes to protecting your income, assets, and your family's future. Thankfully, my good friends at Tangible Investments are your safe haven from the storm. Call now, and Tangible Investments will send you, absolutely free, a 1 ounce American Silver Eagle, along with your guide for investing in precious metals. To receive your free American Silver Eagle, call toll-free 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000.
President Trump now says the NFL should suspend Oakland Raiders running back Marshawn Lynch next time he doesn't stand for the national anthem. In a tweet this morning, the president calls Lynch's actions yesterday a great disrespect. He goes on to criticize the NFL for low attendance and low ratings. Lynch sat for the national anthem yesterday, but stood for Mexico's national anthem during a game that was played in Mexico City against the New England Patriots. Lynch has chosen to sit during the national anthem before every game this season so far. Jeffrey Tambor is quitting the show Transparent amid a sexual harassment scandal, as we hear from Mark Mayfield.
Tambor was the lead actor in the show for years. On Sunday, Tambor released a statement detailing how it was an honor to play the transgender character Maura Pfefferman, but the show isn't what he signed up for years ago. So far, Tambor faces two sexual harassment allegations. The most recent one involves a transgender co-star who alleges that Tambor made lewd comments and pressed up against her suggestively. The other allegation came from a former assistant on the show. Tambor is denying all allegations, and Amazon is investigating.
And it's been a pretty busy season for Santa, so kids now need an appointment. Macy's flagship store in New York City announcing that, due to the increased popularity of the jolly old elf, the store wants to ensure wait times are manageable, so people can visit the Macy's Santaland website to sign up for a time up to 5 days in advance to see Santa.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Local weather here today at HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Outside our doors at Flemington, 42 degrees. Today's sunny, high in the upper 40s. Clear on the overnight, low in the upper 20s. Actually, saw a couple of snow flurries last night coming home. Tuesday, sunny, high near 56. Tuesday night, chance of rain, mainly after 3 in the morning. Also into Wednesday day before noon. Maybe only 20%, though. Wednesday night, mostly clear, low in the upper 20s. Thanksgiving day, looks like at least around here, sunny, high in the 40s. Again, 20s in the overnight and 40s in the during the day on Friday. And then Saturday, at least from here, looks like a chance of rain and possible snow showers if it gets cold enough. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterton Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterton-chamber.org.
Hey, welcome to Chef Bill's Table. Gathering at the table here every Monday or whenever you choose to listen. And Chef Bill Kinslow from Jake's Restaurant here in town. Getting ready for the big food holiday. I always like to talk about national food days. Of course, Thanksgiving, the big one, right? Everybody gets together for a meal at some point. I know there are many people working out there besides us. In the hospitality industry, but all we could call us an essential service, right? Especially in a hotel. But medical field, emergency personnel, a lot of people are on standby even on a holiday. So thank you to all, and I hope you get a break somewhere between Thursday and Friday to enjoy a nice meal with your people. So, we've had a lot of information out there. Of course, every year we start, I think the times they started about a month before planning your Thanksgiving feast. And after all, I say my kids, they always like Thanksgiving. You don't have to worry about gift giving and all that stuff. It's just get together and have a great meal. And whatever your heritage or tradition, many times in this country, Canada, there's always kinds of fall festivals, and no matter what your reason for celebrating, it is a good day to just sit back. And yes, the turkey is the center of attraction here, although I'm sure many people out there that if you don't like turkey or prefer to have something else, go for it. You know, you might want to serve a little roast fillet on the side, or you may want to go with duck or something a little bit different. And of course, there's only a couple of people. I mean, roasting a duck wouldn't be a bad idea. But the turkey, and it's we always struggle, you know, fresh or frozen, and, you know, do I stuff it? Do I not stuff it? Do I put a roasting bag? Do I foil it? How long do we do low and slow? Do we do fast? And there's many, many ideas out there. And I guess we all kind of at the end of it, just the bird does get done. The first restaurant I worked, of course, the old Fireside, every week we had a buffet and we cooked a couple of big turkeys to carve. We had a steamship around the Veep, but we always also had the turkey because it was on our menu. And, of course, we would, wouldn't necessarily, we'd have some gravy, wouldn't necessarily do the whole Thanksgiving dinner on the buffet, but turkey was always on there as an alternative to the red meat. So cooking there, another, when I was roast cook at the Lake Placid Club, not too long after that. In the wintertime, every day we had prime rib on the menu, but on Sundays we did roast turkey. Little nod to the North Country there. So I got, you know, a lot of time put into turkeys because you might have food ready for 200 or 300 people or more. And we needed to have enough roast ready. So every Sunday was kind of like making a mini Thanksgiving meal. You know, we'd have the potatoes, the gravy, sometimes stuffing, different things would go with it, but turkey was the roast. So got used to cooking them. And we never really did any magic tricks with it. We seasoned them and put them in the oven and roasted them. Of course, restaurants have an advantage because we're cooking them, except for maybe a very small place, or a place that only does turkey. I'll remember Larison's Turkey Farm up there. That's what they serve, so you're always rolling out fresh birds. But oftentimes, the turkey is cooked ahead and let come to rest and then carved and portioned. Unless it's a buffet where the chef is out there carving to order, this is mostly what happens. And at home, it's difficult because we like to bring the centerpiece out. So you want it looking good, and then you're trying to carve it at the table. You've got family-style vegetables and try to keep everything hot. One thing I would advise you is have lots of gravy. We'll go through how to make a nice stock for that. You need gravy or a sauce. And this is where sometimes the nod to your tradition or heritage could come in, depending on where you're from or what your nationality is. You have the bird, but then your accompaniments and your sauce may not be gravy. It may be something else, mole or something, you know, with a different flavor profile, let's say. It might not be traditional North American. Even in other sections of our country, it might be a little bit different take on things. Again, the sides and the sauce is where you can customize the menu for your audience. So basically the turkey, now you need it, of course, if you're buying fresh, well, the better, but the frozen ones, make sure it's completely defrosted, and you make sure that, of course, the little packet of giblets there is not still tucked in there. You know, I think we've all done that once in our lifetime where we just forgot, and it's not the end of the world. It gets cooked, but we want to cook the bird about 350. Larger birds, you might want to go a little bit slower. You worry about overcooking and undercooking. Trussing does keep that little point on the breast meat a little less dry, let's say. But oftentimes when you're carving the turkey, you have enough turkey, you're going to take from the thicker part. If that little bit on the end is there, that's probably going to go into soup or hash or sandwiches, something else at a later date. So we never really worried about that. You always have plenty. But you want to make sure that dark meat is cooked. Now, the safety zone, they of course recommend 165 for poultry. You could take the turkey out a little bit under that because you have what's called carryover cooking, and the internal temperature will go up by 5 or more degrees as the turkey sits, even out of the oven. Most of the time we'll tent it with a little foil, keep the draft off it, and the bird will continue to cook. Now, if you're carving and you should come into, say, deep down in the dark meat there and it looks a little rosy, it's not the end of the world. It's not going to kill you. And if you, for appearance's sake, really, this is the advantage of carving in the kitchen. You can take the dark meat and warm it up in a little bit of gravy. Just trying to wash that myoglobin out of there. You're not going to eat turkey rare or medium rare like you do duck, obviously. But if it's a little, you know, the dark meat is where people seem to have the problem. Now, a way around that, after our break here, I've mentioned the spatchcocking or butterflying, and it really does work. But there's a couple of other thoughts we have on if you want to make sure that your light meat and your dark meat are cooked properly. We'll be back after a couple of words at the table, and we'll get on with the turkey, Chef Bill's Table.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Back at the table here, Chef Bill's Table. So the turkey, so quick rundown. So if you're butterflying it, need a fairly heavy cook's knife or French knife. And what we do with this is stand the bird tail side up, maybe use a towel in your hand, and with a sharp, quick sawing motion, go on either side of the backbone, and you're able to cut it out of there. Now, this backbone would be great for the start of some of your broth. I also like to use the neck, the gizzard. I even take the two joints off the wing, the little wing tip there and the little flat, we call it the double bone joint. Those are hard to carve unless you have somebody that really is a wing fan. I put those in the broth. The more the merrier, right? Even the tail. Yeah, a little bit of that turkey, mostly fat will come off that, but that's good flavor. Now you can then open up the bird. Now, Taking out the breastbone is a little bit tricky. You can take that out if you like. It is easier to carve without it there. Make sure that, you know, they get the wishbone out of there. What we call the keel, the breastbone. Sometimes it's mainly kind of cartilage. You can cut that out. But that's optional. If you have a good butcher, that person could probably do it for you. So when it's spread out like this, and this is how I do mine now, I always have to cook a small bird, my small, you know, 14, 15 pounds, whatever, just for round two, so we have some leftovers. And it takes about 90 minutes. Another advantage to doing that is, I mean, the meat does cook evenly. They're spread out there. The legs and the white meat cook. They're all, there's really the same thickness at that point. Season it, your butter, oil, whatever, definitely salt and pepper, but whatever you want. If you want to sneak a little seasoned butter under the white meat, that's good. But the bird will cook quickly, and then it's all ready to go for carving. You don't have that big, huge roast, but you do have the two halves of the breast. You can take the dark meat apart. Usually I cut off the drumsticks. Somebody always likes one of those. And there's videos on how to carve at that point. But with it off the cage, as we call it, like that, it does cook quicker. You can also have room in the oven for something else, maybe one of our side dishes that we come up with. Now, another thought, there is a cut out there. I know we can get it in food service. It's called a French cut turkey breast. You've seen airline chicken breasts. They're boneless except for the one wing joint. Well, you can get turkey breasts the same way, or have your butcher fabricate one for you. It would be the boneless breast with the skin on it, and then the one little joint of wing, kind of like a handle. These cook up very quickly, and great for, we use them on carving stations, buffet stations, but even for sandwiches, you've got that wing there, but that you're getting a real turkey breast with all the filler and things like that. That sometimes when you buy a pre-cooked turkey breast, that happens. So this is a good cut, especially if you have a smaller group, or if you just don't like the dark meat. But if you do like the dark meat, what I would do is do the French cut turkey breast and then take the leg and thigh and, of course, take the thigh bone out. Now, if you really want to get fancy, like when we're making turducken, we stuff the legs with the stuffing. Dark meat with stuffing in it, you know, it's moister. It's not so apt to dry out by the time the cooking, the stuffing is done. So you could take out, what we do is with a cleaver, or have your butcher again, or you have to crack the drumstick leg, leave that little knuckle on the end there for kind of, well, you want it to hold the stuffing in. And just with the knife working around the bone, you can kind of peel back the meat there and take that bone out. So now you've got what we call in, we do with the chicken legs, the jambonneau, a little ham. You put some stuffing in the boneless drumstick and then a little bit more on the thigh meat, and you can roll it up and tie it, and you've got this pretty much boneless dark meat with your stuffing. So this way you've got light meat, dark meat, you've got something with stuffing in it. I don't know. It's a little bit of work, but if you like them, you want to make sure they're cooked properly separately, that would be the way to go. But roasting, basically, again, in a rack is good, whether it's breast up, breast down. Some people turn them, kind of simulate that rotisserie. You do like a little bit of, if you don't have a rack, a little mirepoix in the pan would help, some onion, carrot, and celery, large dice, just to keep the bird off the pan there. You have your broth going with your turkey parts, onion, celery, bay leaf, little bit of thyme, and parsley is good, peppercorn. And you want that to simmer away. Giblet gravy. I know after the gravy was made, what we'd do is we would take the little gizzard and heart and dice it up after it's been cooked, nice and soft, and quickly saute that in a little butter with onion and add that to the gravy. That was the little giblet flavoring in there. It does have a good, little bit different than just eating the turkey meat. Texture is good once you've cooked it all the way. So you've got your broth, turkey, 15 minutes a pound, basically rule of thumb to follow. Use your instant read thermometer. Make sure that, again, that temperature is 160 to 165. I check it in a couple of places, thickest part of the breast, down into the thigh. Make sure the thermometer does not touch the bone. It's going to throw the reading off. And bear in mind that the turkey will continue to cook as it's sitting outside the oven. So when if you choose to carve at the table, that's all well and good. You make a cut. You've got to separate that dark meat from the light meat. Separate the leg, and the drumstick should cut pretty easily. Take that off if somebody wants the drumstick, or you can cut that meat parallel to the bone, and then the thigh. Some people just kind of with a small knife pull the bone out and slice it. Either way. Or you could just kind of parcel it out as you go along. But the breast meat, advising, if you look at some of the videos, you go parallel to the table down at the bottom of the breast and then take slices down. I used to start right from the top and just cut with the knife parallel to the table and just cut slices off right into the breastbone. Either way, you want to go against the grain to make sure that the turkey's nice and tender. Down to die. How could I lose him? What did I try? Bit by bit. So as I say, carving in the kitchen is probably easier for serving because you can kind of lay the dark meat slices and the white meat. Another advantage to this is if you find that some of it isn't quite done, you've got a little bit of time. You could, if it's an oven-proof platter, you just put it right in the oven. The low oven for a little while. Just make sure nobody touches it when it comes out. Or you may choose to heat up some of the dark meat in a little bit of gravy or broth. Usually it's only a little touch that you may want a little bit more. A little bit, as I say, by the deep in the thigh there might be a little rosy meat, but you can guarantee finishing it off if you carve in the kitchen. A little bit easier to serve. Oftentimes, at tableside service, French service, you would present the roast, let everybody look at it, and applause. It should be nice, the skin nice and burnished brown there, and then you would bring it back to the kitchen, or in the case of French service, it would go back to the guéridon, back to the cart, and it would be carved off to the side, not really on the table itself. So, let's say we carve it in the kitchen, and you can recover any errors that might have happened. Now, the other question that comes up is dietary preferences or needs. And it seems to be something more and more, I won't say common, but people are realizing maybe why they don't feel well. And a lot of it could be traced to maybe something in their diet that's not really agreeing with them. And who says everybody has to? We're able to eat everything, but maybe we're not. So if you know your audience, which most of us will on this day, you can customize your menu to accommodate them. We do it in the restaurant. Of course, I have a beef item. I have a couple of seafood items, one fish, one shellfish, and then I make a vegetarian lasagna that I also will make gluten-free, so it kind of helps a couple of things. A gluten-free Thanksgiving isn't that difficult. You can thicken your gravy with other starches, potato starch or corn starch, arrowroot. The stuffing, got an idea for that if you want to make something gluten-free. Of course, a rice or a potato stuffing would always work. But the problem would be, if you're not going to use broth in it or chicken stock, then you probably need a nice vegetable broth. But I think we'll figure that out with maybe a nice polenta stuffing. But anyway, the dairy-free, we do in the restaurant, we'll make our roux for our gravy with oil instead of butter. And we try to keep the butter out of things, your vegetables, sides, things like that. Flavor them with butter or just have some butter on the table if people do feel the need, but I think we can probably do much better than just putting butter on everything, right? I said maybe force you to use maybe a drizzle of olive oil or a flavored oil, or not. Just keep the calories down. Fruit pies, of course, easy to make dairy-free. You just would not use butter in the crust. Pecan pie, if you want something like that. A custard, it's really basically a corn syrup custard. There's no dairy in that. Of course, kind of hard to to resist without eat the pie without whipped cream. But, you know, if somebody has to be dairy-free, there's many products out there that can substitute. Now, for potatoes, dairy-free, mashed potatoes, what do we do? It was kind of a family oddity, if you will. As long as I can remember, my grandmother, the potatoes were simply, they were boiled and crushed. She had this wooden mallet that she crushed them with and had salt and pepper on them. There was no butter and there was no milk in them. They were just these fluffy potatoes. And I guess the story was, one time she made mashed potatoes and they were a little bit loose, shall we say. They were not as potato-y as they should have been, more like a, probably like the French, like a sauce, right? Too much milk and butter, probably. And I think my grandfather said something probably not that funny. And from that point on, that was her way of getting back. It's like, all right, you didn't like these? I'm not putting anything in there. Now, I always liked them because you could put as much butter in as you wanted. But and a couple of my siblings really, really liked those potatoes, just kind of potato, salt, and pepper without all the dairy and fat in it. But potatoes boulangère, and I've done that, done this in my house even, just as a break from dairy. These are baker-style potatoes, traditionally served with lamb. I've made them on the stovetop, and you're really cooking the potatoes in broth instead of boiling them and adding milk and butter to them. Traditionally, they'd be baked right in the pan with, say, a lamb roast or something like that. And they'll get a little crispy. You bake them in the oven, or you can just have them simmered on top of the stove. But thin-sliced potatoes, and you need hot broth. Now, I've made them with beef broth, and here's where your broths, they don't have to be low sodium because the potatoes really need salt. So you can use regular chicken broth or anything like that. But a Yukon Gold or an Idaho, peeled, sliced very thin, and you need some onions. What you do is saute some onions. Again, you could saute them in oil. Add a little thyme or sage, whatever seasoning you want, a little even poultry seasoning. And these potatoes, again, you're using a broth, so you're really, if you're using water, if you want something vegetarian, you don't have vegetable broth, you can make these with water, but then you need to salt and pepper the layers of potatoes and onion. So you have your onion, and you layer potatoes in a pan, have your broth hot, and pour the broth over the potatoes, and bake them in the oven. And, of course, the top layer will get a little bit crispy, and the rest of the potato absorbs the water. You need that to be, let's see, you know, you've got your 350-degree oven or so. As they say, you can start them. If you start them in an oven-proof pot on the stove, you can get them boiled a little bit in the broth and then slide them in the oven to finish off. So a 375-degree oven, 30 to 40 minutes, you should have these potatoes done. So just, you know, if you don't want that dairy or can't have it in there, try these. They're nice. They say you've got that crispy top, but their potatoes take on the flavor of the broth, and pretty good. You don't even miss the butter. We've got a break for news, and we'll be back at the table.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
New information released about the death of a U.S. Border Patrol agent believed to have been killed in Texas by illegal immigrants using rocks as weapons. An FBI official saying Rogelio Martinez and his partner were not shot while patrolling an area of Texas near the border with Mexico, but a spokesman for the union representing Border Patrol agents and officials saying that the pair were likely attacked by illegal immigrants wielding rocks southeast of El Paso. Several agencies, including the FBI, are investigating. Notorious madman killer Charles Manson has died in a Bakersfield hospital. Here's Sharon Reed.
Manson was serving a life sentence for directing the murders of actress Sharon Tate and six other people in 1969. California prison officials say medical privacy laws kept them from releasing the reason as to why Manson was hospitalized.
USA Radio News.
Are you wearing contacts or glasses right now? Imagine this, opening your eyes tomorrow to 20/20 vision. No daily contacts or glasses needed. It can happen, and it is affordable. TLC Laser Eye Centers wants to help as many people as possible achieve 20/20 vision, so they're offering a fantastic price on their premium LASIK experience. TLC uses the latest FDA-approved all-laser LASIK technology, and for less than what you might think. Find out if LASIK is right for you. Call TLC now for a free consultation. 800-978-1515. Be one of the first 50 listeners to call today and get $400 off your all-laser LASIK procedure. That's a savings of $200 per eye. TLC Laser Eye Centers has over 20 years' experience and performed over 2 million procedures. Let our team help you. For your free consultation, call now. 800-978-1515. 800-978-1515. 800-978-1515. Results may vary.
All right, we're back at the table here. So your potatoes boulanger, right? Something without dairy. Now wheat, here again, how do we handle the stuffing? And I know I mentioned last week it was kind of like a Mediterranean potato stuffing for chicken or even turkey if you want, but with the capers and olives. And they say, you know, stuffing, maybe that's the way you take your tradition to your culture, your heritage. Now, polenta made with cornmeal. So cornbread, unfortunately, most of the time there's flour, regular wheat flour in there. So you want to keep this without. I suppose you could even make something out of masa or corn tortillas. But what I would say, polenta, actually, or could, this stuffing could actually be the base of a nice vegetarian meal also. But polenta is a cornmeal. I guess if you think of grits down south, but it's with the yellow cornmeal, or you could buy polenta, quick polenta. You're making really cornmeal mush. Now, you can cook it with a little milk in it. You can add cheese, things like that. But here what we're trying to do is we're going to – the thing about polenta, you can make it and – chill it in a sheet pan. You pour it in a greased, an oiled sheet pan after it's made. It takes, you know, 30, 40, 50 minutes depending on the cornmeal. You really want it to be smooth. You don't want it to be gritty, right? We don't like our grits gritty. So your polenta should be smooth. Again, you can flavor it the way you want, but this one, we really want it, what's going to happen when it chills down, you'll be able to cut it into cubes and toast them just like croutons. Now, naturally, they're going to be a little bit more fragile, but you can toast them. The way we Italian cook could grill these, even grill polenta squares. You see that on menus. So when you make this sheet of polenta, probably half of it you could do croutons, and the other half you could mix in with a stuffing. Now, your stuffing, I would use mushrooms. You could use sausage. You'd want some onions and celery, but you want a lot of vegetable-type things in there. And even if you wanted to use some rice or wild rice, but the creamy polenta, even though it's chilled, you can puree it back up again and use that to kind of bind your stuffing together and then toss in the polenta croutons at the end. And this could be a nice side dish. You could, again, rebake it to warm it up, but basically it would be ready to go as soon as you're done with it. Now, I don't know if I would stuff this inside the bird. This would be more of a nice side dish, stuffing side dish that would be wheat-free. Now, a gravy, thickening the gravy, I mentioned the other starches. One of my favorites, I always when I make turducken, Chef Paul Prudhomme's sweet potato eggplant gravy, really works. The sweet potatoes and the eggplant are roasted, and they become kind of your thickener. But you have your broth stock, and what we do is roast sweet potatoes, a couple of sweet potatoes, cut an onion in half, a big yellow onion, peel it and cut it in half, and you're roasting that, and then the eggplant cut in half. And I roast these till the eggplant's tender. Then the onion, you want to get some nice browning on it. It doesn't have to be cooked all the way, but you want it to be fairly brown. And then the sweet potatoes should be fully cooked. And I would take the scoop the flesh out of the eggplant and the onion, kind of coarsely chop, and take the skin off the sweet potato. That goes into your broth, and let that simmer till the onion's fully cooked. If you've got a good broth, now you probably obviously need to add some salt. In the case of a turducken, I usually put in a little bit of the Cajun spice, which has salt and the cayenne and everything in there. With a blender stick or in a blender, we'll puree this. And it's got that nice body. You've got that the sweet potato helps offset a little bit of the spice. That eggplant just gives it a nice, richer flavor. And it's a nice, fairly thick gravy. At the end, now, it might need a little bit of sweet. You could dash a little brown sugar or a dash of maple syrup, whichever kind of thing you like in there if you want it a little bit sweeter. But this sweet potato eggplant gravy made without flour is a great sauce, and it's a little more effort than making gravy. But if you really want something outstanding, and plus you're getting nice vegetable nutrition in this one, right? Now, the what to do with vegetarians, right, that come in. And normally on the Thanksgiving table there's quite a few vegetables, but you have your main event, of course, turkey, and we've got your stuffing has the broth in it. So we try to make something that is tasty. And if you have, you know, if you have one vegetarian, easy to make a plate of something special. But truthfully, what I'm finding when I cook for vegetarians is you really discover some nice foods that you wouldn't have thought of. And I think as those of us that eat, that consume meat, always think, well, I've got to make the vegetables taste like meat. But really, vegetarians, really, a lot of them, they just don't like the taste of meat. So why would you make vegetables taste like meat? Yes, you like that umami, that savoriness, but it's possible to coax those flavors out of vegetables and have the vegetables retain their own character. You want the vegetables to taste like vegetables. So if you're roasting a vegetable, you want it to be roasted properly, just like if you're roasting a chicken or a pork tenderloin. You're not going to burn it. You want it done. You want that caramelization. It does the same thing. It hits that that nice addition to the flavor, if you will, and sometimes brings out the flavor of the vegetables even better. You take a caramelized onion versus a raw one versus just a sautéed one. I mean, the vegetables change as you cook them and also change depending on the manner in which you cook them. So don't be afraid to treat vegetables just as vegetables and let the combinations or the whatever, you know, your selection, let them stand on their own. Season them properly and cook them properly. Now, what I would do is, say, as I mentioned, the restaurant, we do a eggplant lasagna. And I think it would be kind of nice to have this. I know at my Christmas dinner, even though we have a lot of other food, I always make lasagna. It's a nice side dish. I guess that comes from, you know, working in Italian restaurants for many years. You usually have a pasta course. And the thing about lasagna is you can bake it, you know, after the turkey comes out, put the lasagna in the oven, and with your other side dishes, whatever you're doing, it can bake and function as a side dish, but also is substantial enough to be a main course. So when we come back after these messages, we're going to figure out this vegetable lasagna, and then maybe a quick suggestion of setting up your holiday meal. Chef Bill's Table.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
This is the day of the expanding man. All right, we're back at the table here. So our vegetarian lasagna, they said, or any kind of pasta. Yes, we like to get some protein in the dish if it's going to be as a main, but really, it really should be something. So when people that can't or won't eat the turkey or your main course can have some semblance of a nice plate in front of them. So the eggplant lasagna, so I make this also gluten-free. Again, in the restaurant, it helps satisfy, you know, a couple of dietary needs out there. So I use eggplant instead of the pasta. So I take the eggplant, I peel it, and slice it very thinly. I slice them long ways. You could do it crosswise if you want, either way, but fairly thin. And a couple of ways to do this. I like to grill them, or you could simply saute them in a little bit of olive oil. You want to season them. If you don't have to be gluten-free, you could flour them and saute them. Or even similar to an eggplant parm, you could actually bread them and fry them. That would be, I think, wouldn't be as much in favor of that, than the eggplant kind of takes over as more like an eggplant parmesan. So, and the eggplant, you can actually do this ahead. So you have all your thin strips of eggplant. And it's eggplant's fairly soft once it cooks, so you don't want to cook these all the way right yet, because we have to bake this. Now, for the filling, I use naturally some ricotta cheese, but I like to add some goat cheese to it. So for a pound of ricotta, I might put in 4 or 5 ounces of goat cheese blended in there. And also, you know, a little bit of your shredded mozzarella, your Parmesan. But also, in with the goat cheese now, I do roasted vegetables. So what we have is roasted peppers, which you can do yourself or use them out of the jar. Either way, nice, good fire roasted peppers. We have cooked spinach. Again, if you like other greens, go for it. If you like kale in there, make sure it's cooked all the way. If you want broccoli, raw, but some kind of green vegetable in there, cooked and then squeezed dry. I will do some grilled portobello. Again, these vegetable preps we can do ahead of time. A little bit of the grilled portobello, and that's chopped up in there once it's cooled off. So peppers, portobello, spinach, classic combinations. Goat cheese kind of elevates the dish, I think, a little bit instead of plain ricotta. Also pairs well with those vegetables. And I use a little tomato sauce. You could have a marinara, again, vegetarian. You don't want a meat-based sauce, just a nice, good, chunky marinara. So in your baking pan, sauce first, and then a layer of eggplant, and then you put your cheese layer in. Now, what I've normally done with lasagna is your ricotta, it's kind of hard to spread the cheese around sometimes. I just sneak a little bit of the sauce in there, kind of loosen it up. And sauce is, you're going to put sauce on the layer anyway. Why not just mix it in? It's a little more homogeneous, and it also eases the spreadability of the cheese mixture. So you make layers. You've got eggplant, the cheese mixture, a little sauce, a little Parmesan if you like. I don't put the, you can put the mozzarella on at the end. Have some shredded mozzarella or slices on the top layer after your final layer with sauce and cheese. And then you bake this, and comes out. You've got to let it settle for a little bit, just like any lasagna. And you can cut it into small squares for an appetizer. It could be a side dish. It could be a main event for a vegetarian, along with some of your other sides. And if you have any left over, it's, when it's chilled, it's a nice vegetable terrine, if you will. You can slice it also with your cheese mixture. You want to make sure you put, for each pound, you put a one beaten egg in there. In case I forgot to mention, the egg helps the structure, helps things be a little bit, the sliceability, if you will. You don't have things sliding around. And as I say, this thing we offer, this as a vegetarian dish, but some people even will want it as a first course. And speaking of first courses, how do we set up for a meal? So we're having a big meal. What do we start with, right? If we're having all these meats and savory things, of course, if you're having a gathering prior to this, seafood's always nice. Shrimp, you can't go wrong with shrimp. Everybody likes it. If you're more into the, of course, I would prefer some nice clams or oysters on the half shell, but practically speaking in the house, probably either shrimp, smoked salmon, you know, some chilled seafood would be nice. Go with more vegetables. What we'll do oftentimes is just some shaved fennel. I actually like poached asparagus, even though it's the wrong time of the year. But if you're doing, instead of a bunch of, you know, carrot and celery and things like that, just a couple of vegetables treated well. The fennel, you cut thin slices. It's got that nice, that anise flavor. So it's kind of like having a celery stick, but you don't need a dip. You don't want the things that you're going to shove into a mayonnaise or cream cheese dip because you're getting enough richness later on. So with the fennel, drizzle a good extra virgin olive oil and actually sprinkle it with celery salt. And because the raw vegetables, they can use a little bit of salt. It'll bring out the nice celery-like flavor of it. Poached asparagus, good on its own. You can wrap it with prosciutto if you like, if you want to zip it up a little bit. And there's where, you know, if you wanted maybe a honey mustard or a cold sauce with it, or just have it on its own. Asparagus is good. But pick a couple of vegetables. Fruits are always good, even though you're having pies and things later. You know, grapes, pears and apples, of course, this time of year. Asian pears work well because they don't discolor once you've sliced them. Resist the urge to have a bunch of cheese and crackers. I think vegetables and fruits, just something if you're having a gathering, take the edge off. Of course, that time of year, you know, some maybe a good mixed nuts would be good. But that's about it. Now, if you're serving a first course at the table, here's where I'll just mention the one thing. Of course, oyster stew, always good this time or any time of the year. But this year, this time of year, we think of simple soups like this. You don't have to spend hours making a soup. If you do one of these, like a pan roast oyster stew, scallop stew, right now while the Nantucket scallops are being harvested, they're very expensive, but this is where you could serve a taste of luxury as a soup course instead of trying to make a meal out of it. So we're making these. You want, if you have some, happen to have fish stock, fine. Otherwise, some, I would make with some white wine, some onions and celery and bay leaf, just our normal broth seasonings. You could use a little clam juice if you want, but you really don't have to. If you're using oysters, if you buy the shucked oysters, there's oyster liquor in there that would suffice. And maybe you want to do both. Maybe you want to do oysters and scallops. Nice and sweet oysters, sweet scallops and the salty oysters. So anyway, you need this broth, and you need heavy cream. We like to reduce the broth till it's concentrated and reduce the cream. You want it fairly thick because when you add the seafood, it's going to thin it back out. Strain all your onion and celery and things like that out of there. You have your cream reduced with your flavoring in there, your fish broth or stock, whatever you've made. And all you really need is a little Worcestershire sauce and a dash of cayenne, and then check it for salt and pepper. So you have this broth, and simply cook the oysters or the scallops very, very little. You don't even have to boil it again. The oysters, they'll begin to curl up. They're done. Don't overcook them. And these nice Cape scallops, same way. They're a little underdone, all the better. You do not want to cook them so they're like pencil erasers. Spending a lot of money on them, and really a nice, elegant first course. Yes, it's cream-based, but it's soup. It's a, you know, you're not serving that much of it. It's a few ounces, and again, if you've had that broth in there, it's not all just heavy cream. So that's it. A couple of tips, but have fun. And, you know, like I say with a turkey, if it's a little bit under, you can heat it back up. If it's a little bit over, make sure you have plenty of gravy. You know, we're not all perfect, and the bottom line is you're getting together. You don't want it to be stressful. Yes, you want to pay attention and be accurate, feeding your loved ones, but in the end, like we say when we're training our cooks, at least you can eat your mistakes. Chef Bill signing off. Talk to you next week.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
New information released about the death of a U.S. Border Patrol agent believed to have been killed in Texas by illegal immigrants using rocks as weapons. An FBI official saying Rogelio Martinez and his partner were not shot while patrolling an area of Texas near the border with Mexico, but a spokesman for the union representing Border Patrol agents and officials saying that the pair were likely attacked by illegal immigrants wielding rocks southeast of El Paso. So several agencies, including the FBI, are investigating. Notorious madman killer Charles